Welcome to Dangerous Christianity with Dr. Christopher Rodkey, where we explore new ways of being Christian that go against the grain, stands up against the church when it's evil, speaks truth to power, and reclaims the Bible as a radical message of hope, liberation, and justice. Dr. Rodkey is pastor of St. Paul's United Church of Christ in Dallastown, Pennsylvania, and leads the Sacred Profane Community, a post-faith gathering for those seeking to nurture a literate and misfit, geeky, sometimes sneaky, as well as a queer-affirming and beer-affirming spirituality. All information mentioned throughout the program is listed in the show notes. And now, please welcome Dr. Christopher Rodkey.
Thanks for joining me for Dangerous Christianity, which is my sermon podcast from St. Paul's United Church of Christ in Dallastown, Pennsylvania. This is Pastor Chris Rodkey. If you'd like to give a donation to the church, you can find the instructions in the show notes for the podcast, or you can email a tax-deductible donation to St. Paul's United Church of Christ, which is an open and affirming ministry, at 205 West Main Street, Dallastown, Pennsylvania, 17313. And feel free to contact me directly if you have prayer requests or concerns or thoughts to share. Thanks and have a great day.
Good morning, everybody. I was originally not going to preach today and take the Sunday off. And then I wasn't sure it was the best idea to have someone fill in on the Sunday after the election, not knowing what was going to happen, knowing that there was a lot of division and divisiveness. So I sort of wrote this sermon in a middle space of about uncertainty and so on. And after I'd written the sermon about being in uncertain places, the election was called yesterday. So what I have to say to you is a bunch of ideas, maybe still sort of wet, like oil paint on canvas. So keeping that in mind, I remember that 4 years ago, here at St. Paul's, I preached a sermon where I said that we needed to focus on healing and focus on race and racism as a problem in our country and focus on overcoming our divisions. And I know after the service, some people thought that that was being too political. And I think I'm at a place today in 2020 where I can say that if that's political, then so be it. Because that's the same message I have today. And that message is just as it was 4 years ago. Healing, justice, and peace, and hope. We know that the problems of this country that we've experienced and seen in the last 4 years, all of the ugliness, was not invented by the outgoing president. This was all beneath the surface all along. We knew that, and we also know today that the incoming president is not going to fix them immediately either. But either way, we stand in need of healing, justice, and peace, and to have hope. The book of Ecclesiastes, which is sometimes called by Jews Koheleth, after the writer that is identified, the preacher Koheleth, famously said these words that we sometimes hear in songs, but maybe more often we hear them at funerals. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 3. For everything, there's a season, a time, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. The reality is that these times of dancing and sewing and speaking are not constant, and they're often experienced with what we believe to be the opposites, which we see in this passage of scripture. The reality is that they aren't mutually exclusive of each other. These things are experienced together. The reality is that maybe all of these experiences are not really in opposition to each other, but all of the web of creation and all of the experiences therein, all of that web that strings our lives from birth to death and is woven intricately with other people around us and consequently tied to everyone in the world. We as a human community experience these things, not just as individuals, but collectively together. Sometimes we experience them at the opposite, at the expense of the other. That's how life often is. Good or bad, it all happens. It's not always consistent. It's not always fair. But the constant is time. Without getting too philosophical, time is a human construct. It's something we have invented. The perception of time is part of our human life. In some ways, we use time or our perception of it as a coping mechanism to veer us away from thinking about the past or to divert us away from considering the consequences of the future or to take the past seriously as we discern how we act now affects the future. Koheleth further says in Ecclesiastes 3 in the next section, verses 9 through 15. What gain do have the workers from their toil? I've seen the business of God has given to everyone to be busy with. He's made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he's put a sense of past and future into their minds. Yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already is. And God seeks out what has gone by. Regarding time, the Bible says that God has put this rationality, this understanding of time into our minds. Yet we do not and we cannot have full understanding of God's plans from beginning to end, except for hope and confidence in God's love for all of creation and the love that begins at the very beginning of the universe, as described in the book of Genesis. To that love that ends the universe and sees a new universe beginning in a new creation in the book of Revelation. But the Bible also teaches us that in the present, we should take pleasure in life. We should be confident, we should have confidence that tomorrow may bring something different. But today we should celebrate what we have and that we have it and continue into our season. And as we continue into this season of Thanksgiving this month. But as for today, we have today. We should live for today. Some of us in our country are happy today. Some of them are ambivalent. Some of them are upset and disappointed in the outcome of the presidential election. I think I'm always honest about my biases. I let my bias show. I myself have a hard time being really excited about our president-elect, who was one of the voices who allowed the second Iraq war to happen, which killed so many people of my age and my generation. That's my obstacle to overcome. It's on me to overcome it because we have to move forward. It's appropriate and meaningful in this space we are in right now to name who we are, how we're feeling, where we are in this moment, because we're going to have to stop posturing or pretending we are something else, pretending we're something we're not, if we're going to move forward from this moment. How we choose to live this moment out is crucial to how we make our next move forward as individuals and collectively as a church, and more generally as a nation. Let me share with you something that I read that I found inspiring from Margaret Wheatley's book, Turning to One Another, and I hope you can see it on the screen. These are her words. There is no power greater than a community discovering what it cares about. Ask what's possible, not what's wrong. Keep asking. Notice what you care about. Assume that many others share your dreams. Be brave enough to start a conversation that matters. Talk to people you know. Talk to people you don't know. Talk to people you never talked to. Be intrigued by the differences you hear. Expect to be surprised. Treasure curiosity more than certainty. Invite in everybody who cares to work on what's possible. Acknowledge that everyone is an expert about something. Know that creative solutions come from new connections. Remember, you don't fear people whose story you know. Real listening, which always brings people close together. Trust that meaningful conversations can change your world. Rely on human goodness. Stay together. From this moment and this day, from the celebrations we're having around the country and collective mournings happening around the country, we need to hear these words loudly and emphasize that the Christian witness goes beyond all of this. And it is the story of healing and justice and peace and hope. So that we can go through the hard conversations, the muck and the swamp that we need to work our way through, believing that we as a Christian people are called to healing, justice, and peace, so we may have hope. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, so be it.
Thank you for listening to Dangerous Christianity. For more information about how to get involved in the movement, how to contact Dr. Christopher Rodkey, or where to find information regarding his preaching itinerary, publications, or how to make a contribution to his ministry, please refer to the listed show notes. Dr. Rodkey again would like to thank all of his listeners for continuously supporting and tuning into his work and message. Thank you.